At the highest level by the President of the ACTU, Sharon Burrow, has been unequivocal from day one, and we've been very grateful for the efforts that she has made to act on our behalf with Woolworths Australia there. That is now extending out into a much more active campaign of building support financially and industrially for the locked out workers. This morning we had a $10,000 Australian donation arrive from the Transport Workers Union in New South Wales. More is promised, and the CFMEU in the Queensland branch donated $5,000 Australian to us a couple of days ago. We expect the momentum to grow quite rapidly in terms of Australian financial support. And the work that is being done by the New Zealand Maritime Unions and Rail, well, the two New Zealand Maritime Unions on our behalf with the International Transport Federation, we expect to result in some industrial backup too.
You mentioned the US too,
Lina. Oh, yes. The NDU has been developing ties for some time with the unions involved in the US in the war against Walmart. Walmart is the largest employer in the world. It's a completely non-union company. It's a company who have gone as far as to close a supermarket as soon as the unions achieved won the right to bargain in that supermarket. They closed the supermarket rather than bargain with the union. They are responsible for enormous poverty in the US, both as a result of their minimum wage pay policies and their relationship with suppliers, and they have a management exchange program with Woolworths Australia. The initial contact that we've had with those involved in the union movement in the campaign to unionise Walmart, we've had early indications of support there, which we'll be working on too over the next few days. And we'd also expect through the ITF links and our links with the transport unions in the US that there may well be further support growing from there that I'm not yet aware of.
You talked about intensifying industrial action. What are you asking the other unions to do in that sense?
Well, as one of our delegates said today, we're asking those workers who encounter a picket line not to cross it, and we'll be continuing to do what we can to erect picket lines as widely as we can so that other workers know that by supplying supermarkets they're crossing a picket line and can make the choice not to. And already, you know, our own members and members of other unions employed in other workplaces involved in the wider distribution system have been doing what they can to protect the bargaining rights of these workers by making it difficult for supply to get through. Trevor Hanson, I think, has already spoken about other possibilities, and that work. The maritime unions are obviously looking at their options there.
You also mentioned about how every staff member in the NDU was out at one stage. We've also heard these pleas here today of, you know, people just really aren't getting the money that they need at the moment. How long will you be able to carry on like that, using all resources, using, you know, these people having no money?
As long as it takes to win.
And the support is intensifying here. So, I mean, all of the New Zealand unions are affiliated to international union organisations. So, you know, we actually belong in total to organisations representing more than 150 million workers worldwide. And particularly federations like the International Transport Workers Federation will undoubtedly be moving to ensure that they provide support through both financially and industrially.
And I think you also need to understand that it's not within these workers' control about if and when they go back. This is a lockout. It's the employer's initiative, and it's our job to make sure that they're supported, and that call is well and truly out there throughout all unions now.
Legislatively, you know, 6 years of Labor and you can lock people out and they can't you know, get back in? Well, is there anything you're trying to do with
the legislation? We are exploring right now the issue of the legality of the lockout. The Employment Relations Act gives people a right to bargain in good faith. That is the right that this employer has demanded they surrender before they're allowed to return to work. They won't surrender it.
But I think there is a broader issue here of vulnerable workers being in a situation where a major corporate is exploiting that power of locking workers out. I don't think we've ever seen a situation in recent history in New Zealand where a overwhelmingly large corporate employer is using the lockout power in a way to starve out a group of workers on marginal wages.
Well, they keep going. Is there any plans?
Well, our resolution foreshadows some work that we think we now have to do to develop legislative options for providing greater protection for vulnerable workers in this situation, if this is the sort of abuse of power that we're going to see from major corporate employers.
Progressive have responded this morning to the involvement or potential involvement of the Maritime and Transport Union. They've used words such as irresponsible and unlawful and say this could have an effect on way more than just this progressive. What's your response to this?
Well, I'd say that they are the irresponsible party in this dispute. They are the irresponsible corporate employer that's misusing the power under the Employment Relations Act to lock out vulnerable workers and to try and starve them into submission. So I think they should account to New Zealanders for their actions, their invest and plunder approach to coming to New Zealand. So we're not going to respond to that. We're simply going to say that we are an organisation that provides, through various means, support and solidarity to workers in this situation, and we're going to use every means possible, including industrial means through maritime workers and other workers, to ensure that these workers finally get a fair settlement.
Are you prepared, though, to take it that one step further where it starts to affect lots of people rather than just the workers in the union you're trying to...
Look, we're not going to preempt that. What we're talking about today is a commitment from this resolution to explore all those opportunities. I'm absolutely sure that those actions will occur, but I'm not going to speculate on what form they might take.
But aren't there limitations under the ERA in terms of the kind of industrial action or support that one workers in one agreement can get to, say, one another?
There are limitations under the Industrial Relations Act, and we'll be conscious of those limitations under the Industrial Relations Act, but we're also in a situation here where there are important matters of principle, and one of the fundamental principles here is that these group of vulnerable workers are being exploited by a major Australian corporate, and we're not going to simply stand by and allow that to happen.
Even if it means taking what could even be if it means, an illegal action?
Even if it means taking action in various forms that might attempt to avoid the law.
Sorry, that's not very clear.
I'm not intending to be very clear. I'm not actually going to spell out the action that we're going to take, because I'm certainly aware of those limitations of the law, and we have to explore every opportunity that we can to take whatever action is possible to provide the support that's needed to help these workers win this dispute. And I'm not going to lay out to you this morning action that you may consider or employers may consider to be illegal in terms of the restrictions that are imposed by our employment laws.
Now, there's been talk today about the confusion perhaps in the public around whether the workers are on strike or the fact that it's a lockout. Would you be able to sort of make it clear for our story tonight just that it's what the situation is around that?
Since Monday the 28th of August, the workers here and 580 others around New Zealand have been locked out by their employer. They are not allowed to return to work unless they surrender their right to bargain a national collective agreement.
And why do you think that is the strategy in place here?
Well, you have to ask the company that.
But
what's very clear is that the company has opted for a strategy to use economic bullying in the form of the lockout to force compliance with its demand to give up the right to negotiate a national collective agreement. The employer has no intention of bargaining a solution to this issue. They are bullying their way using the brutality of the lockout as the weapon of choice.
How could the public help if they wanted to support the workers?
The public are... We're inviting the public to give generously to the welfare fund that's been established to support the locked out workers. If the employer's weapon is starvation, our community response has to be sustenance. And that's what we can provide by making donations through the 0900 lockout number, donating directly to the picket lines, donating to the National Distribution Union and the EPMU at a central level, taking up collections in our workplaces, at railway stations, all sorts of ways to get sustenance to this workforce. There are many opportunities over this weekend for people to join our rallies, which are being held in Auckland and Palmerston North and Christchurch, again to stand beside the locked out workers and show, actively demonstrate their support. But it is important too for members of the public to express their position directly to the company. The 0800 40 40 40 complaints line for Progressive is a good place to start, making a direct approach to the company, informing them of your support for the locked out workers will start to impact on the company. In the end, whatever the price of settlement here is, it is nothing compared to the risk of loss of market share by Progressive in the long term, and I think they should be seriously considering how the impact on their reputation as an employer in New Zealand is going to impact long term on their business interests here.
I mean, that chap, Quinsett, stood up and said he was going to send his loyalty card back. Is that something that you would have a view on?
The community, there is a groundswell of support and activism for these locked out workers in the wider community. People are coming up with new ideas and novel ways of showing their active support for the workers every day. We think that what Progressive has sparked here is not just a fight back by these workers, by their unions and by the union movement, but a fight back by all New Zealanders against brutality, particularly imported brutality, and an attempt to destroy their right to bargain.
When will we know when you've made a plan to intensify industrial action?
We've already made a plan. I mean, we're in the process of ensuring that we use all means we can to prevent Progressive itself from avoiding the impact on its own supplies of the lockout that it has put in place.
Oh, but you said you need to intensify the industrial action.
No, we're about intensifying the efforts of other unions and other workers in New Zealand to both generate the funds to support the workers who are locked out, to disrupt the supply lines to Progressive enterprises, and to do anything else that is possible. Because as Lida said, there are some inventive thinking going on to provide support and to put some pressure on this huge corporate employer. And that will unfold in the days to come.
So just a question, is this potentially the biggest industrial relations thing in the last few years? Or what was the one before this?
Well, the thing about this dispute is that it is a lockout by a colossal employer of a group of workers who are on relatively low wages. I think that's what really distinguishes it from other disputes, the disparity of power that's involved here and the willingness of the employer to use that power to starve these workers into submission. I think that's the feature of this dispute, and that's why we're taking such a strong stand.
But how often do you guys all get together, like, today?
On this? No, not often.
So when was the last one?
That we had a press conference like this on a national dispute.
Well, then you all got together and decided to support workers. And live in memory.
No, we do it regularly, but I mean we don't take a national profile on it in the way that we are on this dispute.
It's certainly me that either that you see such a crude attack by an employer on a group of workers, and that's what unites, and the fact that it's a lockout, not a strike.
Yeah,
The last lengthy strike we had was probably the Kinleith one in 2003 that went for 90 days. That was a strike. This is a lockout. That makes it much harder. It's 500 people going without income because the employer is demanding it, not because they've chosen to take action against their employer.
So when was the last lockout?
Well, there was lockouts during the 1990s. This was a feature of employer behaviour in the early days of the Employment Contracts Act in the early 1990s. We saw, for the first time really since the 1951 waterfront lockout, employers regularly using the lockout power to cut workers' wages and conditions. We're a long way from that now. We're a decade on in New Zealand, and we were developing a better framework for employment relations in New Zealand. This company has introduced from Australia this heavy-handed tactic using lockout power again, and I think, again, that's what distinguishes it from the current industrial disputes in New Zealand.
So have we gone back to the 1990s with this dispute?
Well, this employer's gone back to the 1990s. You might say it's gone beyond that. This is crude use of the power of a major corporate and against a pretty vulnerable group of workers. And that, I think, is why we're asking New Zealanders to see this as a dispute that we've got to win, because it's unfair and it's unjustified.
And unjust.
And unjust.
You guys, how do you feel about the people that have crossed back over the credit line? I mean, it must be pretty hard.
It hurts. It does hurt. Our numbers are already in the moment.
Are they your friends?
No, they have been close friends at times. You know, it's a workplace. Everyone gets on well at some stage or another.
Are they your friends now, sir?
It's hard to say because we have a communicator, so I can't put this on that. It is hard reaching to see them cross over, especially when they know they don't want to cross over. But for financial difficulty, they have to denounce their rights.
But Quinton and Carly, how bad are things in Palmerston North for you, and how personal and vicious has this become for some colleagues?
Palmerston North as a distribution centre, it's very hard because we haven't got the numbers. That's been hard. We've got a man in the gates pretty much 24/7. With 45 strong, it's very hard to do with the other shifts we have to cover. It's hard not to see the numbers. It's great to see other communities being inside too. It's a long, tiring process, but we've got enough.
And the public have been awesome. They've been really great.
Okay. Thank you very much.